The company that makes the best over-the-ear headphones is now making the best earbuds. Heavies users have made their voices heard, and we present the H1E earbuds. Up to 24 hours battery life per charge with a quick charge case, comfortable silicone design that fits perfectly so you can headbang all day and not have the buds slip out, and interchangeable faceplates just like our headphone shells so you can show off your favorite bands. Available now at heavies.com. Welcome back to the podcast that rocks, weekly podcast that talks about news in the world of rock, metal, alternative, and everything in between, live on YouTube, somehow, despite YouTube trying to stop everyone. My name is Luke.
My name is Alex.
And my name is Rowan. Don't you just love it when everything works out perfectly as planned?
Yes, I can confidently say that was 100% not on the podcast that rocked as we go live on Wednesday evenings, 8 p.m. Eastern. Everything on YouTube shut down. It's not like they do this like at a weird time when they know it's prime time for certain people. No, they did it 8 p.m. on a Wednesday. However, people are filing into the chat room saying they've refreshed. They see it on their TV, their phone, their podcast. I love that people watch us on their TV. That's kind of fun. Ooh, right?
That's cool.
Big faces.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you guys so much for your patience. Also, if you're watching on YouTube, if you're listening to this on the podcast, you probably didn't notice anything. And good for you. Thanks. We appreciate it. And you can thank us by giving us a review on either Apple or Spotify, just a star rating. That helps us a ton. Like, we got a few of those last week. It helps us to get pushed. Costs you nothing, takes less than 20 seconds. And if you're already listening to us on those platforms anyway, you already have the link pulled up to leave a review. So please, please do it. Alex will tell one additional dad joke for every review we get.
Dad joke.
Yeah,
she doesn't have enough Laffy Taffy.
She's sitting around like the wrappers are everywhere around her room.
There's a reason why we can't see her floor.
Yeah, Alex.
Day after Halloween, we're in the money. 50% off Laffy Taffys. We're good.
Oh, that's right. She's gonna get the stash. If we get to 50 likes, we're gonna play Festival Rock or Flop. Thank you guys so much again for tuning in. We'll try to move on with things. Apologies again for the delay. We'll get to all super chats. We already got two super chats already. We'll get to all super chats at the end. Thank you so much. I will try my best to deliver this with some minor YouTube speak because YouTube's going to be real harsh on this main topic. However, we also don't want to freak anyone out, but the main topic is just that type of topic. So, my friends, I shall share my screen with you because it's that type of thing. Share screen. Let me know when you can see it.
I'm in.
Alex. Okay, I just heard the beep.
Trust
boop.
You. Just go for it.
I heard a beep boop. We got the news. Ex Lost Prophet singer Ian Watkins, who I referred to as Voldemort for years because I didn't even want to say his name or other people to say his name, was killed in prison. Unalived. Everything else you can imagine. It was not the first attempt on his life in prison in Wales, his home territory. However, it is done. It was reported by the BBC. He was 48, by the way. I stand by. That's what you look like when you're evil and you're only 48. Okay. You age and that's what happens. Anyway, I will not be going into the many, 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 many crimes that this man did because if you don't know, all you need to know, this man was a violent and terrible predator. That's all you need to know. That's the main thing that we could say with going on this. I do not going to dwell on individual cases and stories because there's no need to. There's really not. And I'm going to say this now. I made a short about this, how people were celebrating him being gone. And I'm not making a joke when I say this. This might be the first musician / big name that I've seen where the massive 99 percentile majority is not trying to make cases or arguments for like thoughts and prayers, rest in peace.
Well, if someone tries to defend him, I'm going to be questioning that person.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
There is no defense.
Yes.
Nope. Not in this case.
No. Yeah. What I learned, I was on the Rizzuto show. Thanks again to having me. I'll link that. If you want to see my appearance on the radio show last night, I'll link it today. We talked about it on the radio show yesterday in the morning show. And what happened, King Scott also gave me some information. We knew in 2013 when he finally went to prison, got his sentencing, there were fans still trying to contact him and reach him in prison, supporting him, blah, blah, blah. Did you know they were still trying to do that over the last few years as well?
Who are the people holding out for this?
I don't know, but that was a shocker to me. But it doesn't matter anymore. He's gone. The topic I want to, one quick thing, then the main topic. The first topic is, and I'll make a video about this too, a short one after the podcast. The Voldemort rule has been lifted because he's gone. He cannot do any more damage, so we can talk about him. It doesn't matter anymore. The main reason I didn't want people talking about him in my comments and chat is because there's no way it would not devolve into a cesspool of grotesque stuff whenever his name was brought up. Now that he's gone, and it's a little bit easier to discuss because he's not still standing around trying to smuggle cell phones in prison and all that.
Yeah.
So that being said, the victim list is massive, and not to put this down is like saying there are just as much victims. There are the worst victims of this too. But the rest of the band, I feel, of the Lost Prophets, do you think they feel a little bit of relief? And that's a question, assumption. Do you think they would?
I would say yes. Like, I mean, this just goes back into the whole separating the art from the artist. Mm-hmm. And, you know, say you were around for Lost Prophets back when they were big and you were a big fan of them. And then you find out about all of this.
Me.
It just becomes like this impossible situation for yourself where it's like, oh my God, I love this music. It's enhanced my life. I have this sentimental attachment to it. But at the same time, the person who made it is a freaking monster.
Yes.
I honestly was not familiar with Lost Prophets at all. And the only reason I knew the name was because of this guy. And I hate that.
Yeah. And that is how it's going to be from now on and forever, ever since this happened. There's no way around it. Band dissolved. They tried to reform together to do a new project, but that did not get nearly the legs. The one thing I want to point out is someone that did grow up with that music and was following it. They made it at the time. They had a gold record. They played on Letterman. They made it. Okay. They had three albums that I know of. The second one went gold. They had plenty of radio hits. This is where it went. They were only on the upward trajectory. They cashed in on the emo fad and like changed gears on that third album. And that's really all I need to say about the discography and the music career, because that's not the main focus. I do wonder what happens next for a lot of people, including those band members, because I'm not saying it's cathartic, but I probably would say they feel like, okay, that happened. We can move to like something and not wonder what's going to happen next with him.
Yeah. Honestly, it has to be a sigh of relief because it's a huge monster on your back. No matter what you do, just because you were associated in such close proximity to this person, it's inevitable, unfortunately for you. So this has to be a breath of fresh air, a sigh of relief for the rest of the members in moving forward and moving past this.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good way to look at it, too. I don't know what's going to happen next. And I do want to have one question because I do not want the whole night, like the big main topic only about this, too. I do want to move on to other stuff because so much has already been said, and I'll make an album. I'll make a video about this. A big question right now, and I'm not going to pull up the numbers on it. Is it okay for people to listen to Lost Prophets? And a lot of people are asking that. I personally, this is a me thing, I'm not going to, because there's no way you can listen to it without him being on every inch of the song and the music. Okay. That being said, their Spotify numbers doubled since he passed. So a lot of people are feeling like it's a breath of fresh air.
I think it's just because there's no way he can profit off of it.
True. I don't know. And I'm glad you pointed that out. I don't know if his financial situation was set up to go to his family or anything else, or ex-girlfriend or ex-wife. Keep in mind, one of his ex-girlfriends was one of the people that helped him find victims.
Oh, God. Wow.
Yes, it gets that dark. I'm not going to go any farther, but yes, yes, yes. So I don't know. So that's also a situation. Like the other members, they get cuts of royalties, but I don't know where everything goes. And
were, like, if you didn't, and obviously we're going to assume the best. If you did not know any of this stuff about your bandmate, move on.
Yeah.
You find out, cut all ties.
Yeah.
Change your name, move forward, don't associate.
Yes. And like, Watkins did say that, like, the other band members did not know. The band members swore it. I believe them too. I remember that back in the day, like, there's no way they could have known a lot of that stuff was going on, especially at the time it was going on, because it was after they already started trailing off. However, it's still impossible to disassociate him from the music. That's my viewpoint on it. It's also, and this is an example I pointed out yesterday on the radio show for The Point. There's a situation where R. Kelly, if you ever want to listen to R. Kelly, go for it. Because every cent of royalties they get from streaming for any of R. Kelly's music goes to charity for victims of abuse and everything else like that. You want to go listen to Chocolate Factory and I Believe I Can Fly? You go right ahead, because you're helping someone with charity. They did that as part of the whole thing of like punishment and people trying to make up for the terrible stuff R. Kelly did.
Yeah, some reparations there. Yeah.
Yes. So like, at least that there's some catharsis for that. There's some like, okay, here's something positive that can come out of all the monstrous things you did over the years. That is not set up for Lost Prophets music right now as of recording this.
Yeah.
Even if it was just his cut, you know, I don't know. Go ahead, Alex.
For me, and I know Rowan's in the same boat here, only learning about this band because of this guy. I personally would never, ever, 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 just myself, my own self, nobody else here. I would never even try to listen to it. I would never go watch something on YouTube just because I don't need to. I don't know if I like the music or not. And I don't want to know because of the associations.
Yeah. And this one hurt a lot of people when it happened, just fan wise. I'm just talking fans that grew up with it, you know? Those are the minor victims in a story like this. So there apparently also was footage that got leaked of his demise, apparently, that I will not be showing. I did not even watch it. No, thank you. I'll trust the word of everyone that said he's gone. Thanks. Keep in mind, this was also not the first attempt on his life, and it was very well stated by other people. He had a bullseye on him for a long time in prison.
If you just like look at any statistics or just kind of like read any stories, chomos are they do not have friends in prison.
No.
Even other prisoners realize you are evil and I hate you.
Yes.
Yeah. There are standards in prison
because you live with everyone like that every day of your life. That is your life. Those walls, you know, so once you find out something like that, you know who not to associate with and who is the bigger problem.
Yeah. And for a lot of people in prison, depending on what type of prison you're in and who you're dealing with, you got some people who it's like, I'm already in here for life, or I'm already in here for a long time. I don't mind taking you out.
Yeah. So that is an attitude of it. Also, I like the attitude because apparently there were some people say like, I did something so bad, I'm in the same prison as the Watkins guy. How is that not that should wake you up too, you know? But that was like a long-term facility in Wales. So also shout out to all the Welshies that listen. I'm proud of all of you because when all this broke, every single person I ever met from Wales and like seeing on that line from back then until now completely disavowed him. You know, and the band and everything else like that. They said, we don't want anything to do this. No. We just bullet for my Valentine for me from now on. Thank you. So as they should. So, yeah. And again, I'm not going to tell you yes or no, if you want to listen to it or check it out or anything. Again, I'm not going to go back to it. No, thank you. But all we know is that the biggest problem and possibly the biggest monster that I can think of in rock history. I don't know if there's anyone else that comes close. People talk about like Chuck Berry and all that terrible stuff he did, you know? Yeah, terrible. This is still way worse, worse. So again, I'm not going to talk about it. All I'm going to say is, I don't know.
I'm going to say something.
Sure.
I hope that of all of this, this is the last time I have to see this person's name. This is the last time I have to speak. I never thought I would. Whatever.
I know.
Speak this person's name or hear this person's name. I hope this is the absolute last time for all of the above, because I am so sick of it.
Yeah. And I will make a short video about this, kind of addressing that as well and everything in a more cleaner version, just isolated from the podcast. And then I'm done. That's it. And it'll be nice. And I got to say in the chat, the Voldemort rule is lifted and everything. That's fine. Like, people can talk about it now in chat and comments. I don't care anymore since he's gone, but I can be done. I don't have to engage with it after this week. So,
yeah.
Remember when I'd said this podcast was going to focus on positive things? Remember that? Yeah, that was a good dream.
Well, this is a positive thing. A monster was slain.
I cannot disagree with anything you said. So, yeah, yeah. You know what? Is it okay if we move on? I feel it's okay if we move on from this.
I think so.
Yeah, leave. If you want to leave comments talking about this in a civil way on the podcast feed on YouTube, fine. I'm not going to delete anything like that. If you try to come in making edgelord jokes about a situation like this, you're an idiot and you're gross. So, and that's the reason why I had the Voldemort rule in effect, because I knew it would happen. I'm like, not on my channel. You're not. Now that he's gone, I think people could realize, okay, we can take this serious and just move on. So yeah. This is a feel good story. This is great news. Good dreams to have. Goodness, please move on. Yeah, I think we said enough. Anything else you two? Yeah, anything you two want to add before we go to the next story? Because we got positive stuff to talk about this week. We really do.
Yeah, let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah, I agree.
I feel like, again, okay. Rotten hell, you bastard.
Yeah,
there you go.
Okay, going from pretty bad to super positive. You know, when you see a band reunite and they announce their shows and it's so popular that they have to add more shows like Rush did? Well, guess what the next band is? And it's the place I said Rush was going to go, but No Doubt's going to be there. So I don't get a cut of the royalties. No Doubt's reuniting in 2026 at the Sphere. Alex, would you like to give your brief rundown and explanation on the ticket purchasing situation? Because I love the article from this from Syracuse, how to get tickets before they sell out. Well,
I love it when you have to go into a concert with like, or go into like buying tickets with a strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets aren't even publicly on sale yet. This has been absolute madness. It was wild. So they announced this last week. Super exciting, super excited across the board.
Yes.
On October 10th, it was actually the 30th anniversary of Tragic Kingdom. So it's like perfect timing. They nailed it.
Yep.
And they were like, oh, hey, we're going to be playing the Sphere. And they announced 6 dates initially. And they had some like special hotel pre-packages go on sale last week. And those are, I think, all sold out except for one tier. It was like 6 different levels you could choose from.
And that's not as bad. The hotel, that's at least something. You could throw a rock and hit a hotel in Vegas. Not a big deal.
Yeah. So they have their hotel packages go on sale last week. Artist pre-sale started today. Mm-hmm. And here, enter the saga of Alex. So I hopped into the queue like right at 10 when everything started. And it was like, your number 250,000. And I'm like, what?
I have the screenshot.
It was like that many people in the queue. If I saw a number like that, I was like, I'm giving up. No way.
I'm just going to keep working. And I'm just sitting there. I look at the number every few. I sat there for like 2 hours. It took 2 hours to get through 200,000 people ahead of me.
Well, they got to get through at least 458,000 bots.
That was nuts. Yeah. And so that was like part one. I'm like, oh no, I'm never getting in. Okay, 2 hours later, I finally get in and it's like $3,000 for 2 tickets. Right. GA wasn't even available. It was already sold out.
And the Sphere is like a different seating situation too. I get that, but man, that is like expensive. Yikes.
This was the seats right. So it's like a Sphere, right? So it's GA. And then you've got the 100 section right behind the floor. And it was $3,000 for 2 tickets. And I'm like, wow.
Do you get a lock of Gwen Stefani's hair with that? Man.
You don't even, there's not even a breath of the band coming anywhere near you. You're just like, hey guys. Yeah, I'm
just like, oh my god, I can smell what she had for dinner.
It's disgusting. My brain goes straight to like when we go to the pit and we're like front row for our favorite shows. We're used to rock and metal shows. It's like, dude, I thank you for mouthwashing today as we sing this song together. You know,
and Rowan, as your photo pit career starts, and Alex has been in photo pits enough, you'll see some singers like drink water and spit it out. Oh, that happens. And you really hope your mouth isn't open, because otherwise you're getting baby birded. And that's exactly what it is.
It has happened to me, not as a photographer, but as a concert goer.
I believe. Oh, front row too, like barricade stuff. Yeah, same thing. It happens.
Oh, no, no barricade. I told you, I saw Oceano like 2 weeks ago. There was no barricades.
You got kicked in the head and someone spit in your mouth? Goodness. What kind of show?
not in my mouth, just like on my face. Really? Yeah.
Also, I just want to clarify, Gretchen, my lovely wife in the chat, said something about, man, I thought the money I spent in MCR queue was bad. She did not spend that much in the queue for My Chemical Romance tickets. That was a typo. I was joking around. Oh, my God. She just said, no, $32,000 was not the price. Lol. Typo. We did not spend more than a car on tickets. No, we did not.
Yeah, I was about to say, if my wife spent $30,000 on MCR tickets,
$32,000 in the queue. And that's wild enough because, again, that was a tour. They had different stops. This right here, though, that's all you get. This was for the Saturday, May 9th show at the Sphere. There were only 6 shows, and they did announce more dates.
Yes, due to popular demand, they've added more shows through May 30th.
Would you all be like, Alex, how upset would you be if they made a post like saying, and also, we'll cut the ticket prices. We know that's unfair, so we'll do it that way.
Yeah, right.
But I know it wouldn't happen.
If we were betting people, we would make a lot of money going against that happening.
That's true. So, yeah. I will say this. I would love to see this, like going back, especially true No Doubt reunion, like the ska days. They got the horn section. They have all the stuff later on, you know, with like ex-girlfriend and even things, Return to Saturn, all that stuff from Tragic Kingdom. Fun. But I can't. I'm not saying I would never, but man, I wish there were better options than fighting bots by the hundred thousands to spend that much money. If I knew that was all real people, that's one thing. Yeah. Oh yeah. Sleep Token, another example too. And that was a tour also. But like, if that really was 250,000 real people, I would at least understand the demand a little more. This is a lot of bots. And we already know this because tickets are already getting flipped big time for Rush. Big time. So,
but they said that there was bot prevention on my browser today.
Yeah, your browser is sponsored by Ticketmaster. Yeah, I'll bet they said that.
I know. Yeah. Well, it said right here on the Ticketmaster page. It was like, we have bot protection enabled. And I'm like, all right. They're like, don't click away or we'll think you're a bot. And I'm like, click. I got to go back to work, you guys. Yeah. But I was just blown away. I was like, this is a freaking insane queue. These prices are nuts. I didn't look at any of the other prices because they sold out. Mm-hmm. By the time I got into the room, there were like no tickets.
Just looking at the screenshot you sent us of like the bill, I was like, that is insane. That was more than what I spent for Rush. And it just becomes like one of those things like, after a while, when you get to a price like that, it's gotta be like a thing where it's like, this really has to be something that like, if I don't do this, I'm never going to have this opportunity again. That's the only time I would ever even consider spending that type of money.
And Rush reunion, No Doubt reunion, I do get the raised price for something like that. No Doubt at the Sphere. It's going to be some bonkers, wild stuff on the screen while No Doubt's playing. No Doubt in my mind. Get it? Sorry. I know. But it's going to get to the point where the Sphere cannot keep doing that with prices, and they have to realize the Sphere is a unique thing that needs to be separated from Ticketmaster queues, because this number right here, that is getting to the point of a UPC code. Ugh. So
this is a huge deal. People are so excited about No Doubt. And I know we know that it's a major deal. Fans are super, super stoked about this. For the record, I did not buy these $3,000 tickets. In case you were wondering, sorry guys, I didn't get us all tickets. But the the fact that the first time they played together, I know, I'm so sorry.
I know.
They played together at what? Coachella 2024.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first time they had played together. They reunited in what, like 14 years or something insane?
It was over a decade. I know that.
Yeah. So this is a this is a really big deal. And honestly, this very well could be, because it has been so hard to get No Doubt back together. This could be like the last run of shows they do together as No Doubt. So mm-hmm. it's awesome.
Yes.
If the back tickets were cheaper.
Good question from the chat from Elliot as well. Or not a question, but a statement. I was phrased it as a question. Do you think this could lead to new music?
I don't think so.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know either way, because Gwen Stefani's so tied up in so many other things. So
we've been surprised before, but I don't think so. The last album was what, 2012?
Yeah, a while ago. So
yeah,
we shall see.
I don't think so.
We'll keep you up to date, though, on No Doubt shenanigans, and if we can smuggle Alex in. So that's our next goal.
Yeah.
We now move on.
I'll send you my
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'll send you my email. I was about to say, Alex, I'll send you my email so you can transfer the ticket over to me.
Yes.
What?
Like I said,
I borrow your credit card?
Like I said, I'll spring for merch to pay you back. No problem. I'll get you a t-shirt. You're welcome.
We'll put this on the Rocked credit card, right?
Yes. I had a business loan for a credit card for Rocked. They looked at me and said, oh yeah, sure, podcaster. And they gave it to me. We now move on to other something ridiculous in business world. That actually is a pretty decent segue now that I think about it. If you were a label of the hottest band in the world right now, you'd think you'd be okay with any type of publicity. Well, apparently not so. Tattoo designer says Sleep Token's record label had her Instagram shut down over alleged copyright infringement. There's a before and after the story. I'm going to let Rowan take lead on this one.
There is.
Rowan, yeah. What in the world is going on with Sleep Token's label? Not Sleep Token, Sleep Token's label.
So there's this artist on Instagram called Inkit EJ, if I'm pronouncing that right. They mm-hmm. design tattoos for Sleep Token fans based on their own ideas. And recently her account got basically like copyrighted by Rico Management and RCA Records, who represent Sleep Token, and really just like it's her online portfolio. I have the exact same thing on my Instagram. I'm sure you guys do too.
Mm-hmm.
It's crushing as an artist. It's like, cause like Instagram for a lot of artists is their online portfolio in a sense. And it just feels like an abuse of power because, you know, band tattoos are like one of the most common types of tattoos people get. I see Sleep Token tattoos all the time, and I think they look sick, and it's free advertising. So everyone online is just like baffled that this was even a thing. And it led into this great discussion where it turns out that they have been doing this with several other like accounts as well. Like, yeah. She was not the only one. And again, it just feels like, apparently, according to RCA, it's copyright infringement doing tattoos of sleep that are based on Sleep Token and posting it online. But like, what does that mean? Am I supposed to get permission if I want to get a Sleep Token tattoo
and give them a cut?
I have
a yes.
What do I have to pay the artist and also pay Sleep Token?
Nailed it in one.
You gotta get a licensing fee.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, it's funny. I was actually. I don't have it yet, but I actually did have a Sleep Token tattoo planned for me.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I hope they got this taken care of beforehand as well. We're going to see you on the news soon, too.
Oh.
So I want you to get to this. Yeah, right. I want you to get to the second half of the story now before we talk a little bit more about it. But what's the response now as the update as of yesterday and today?
Yeah. So, of course, this happened a few days ago and, you know, everyone was making a big stink about it online. And RCA responded by retracting the copyright infringement. And not only that, it turns out that they have actually like they were talking to the band about this and the band were like, this isn't right. Why did you do this? Take this away now. Yep. And so she said, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm just trying to pull up the quote.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it as well.
It's okay.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. All right. So first of all, okay. Oh my God. Sorry. Okay.
Again, don't worry about you don't have to worry about the response quote. The main thing is though, her account was restored because Sleep Token and Mainly Vessel had to come back out of lore and out of their characters again just to stop people from being morons. And yes,
yeah, we should clarify, this was not Sleep Token themselves who pushed this copyright infringement. It was their label acting on their behalf. And they said, no, why? This isn't right.
Right. So I'm just going to go back in time. Hey, the Slayer tattoo, the Metallica tattoos, the Aerosmith tattoos, the Pink Floyd tattoos.
One of my friends growing up, his dad had a Korn tattoo on his arm.
Korn, another good one. You know, I've never heard of any other bands having you can't tattoo that. You can't sell those tattoos. This is the
publicity.
One. RCA. I brought this up to my wife too, because she was talking about, she's a big Sleep Token fan also. All the people buying Sleep Token tattoos have probably already paid so much money for merch and music for Sleep Token and concerts. They could probably do without getting a cut from a tattoo artist.
Yeah.
Do you know what this
reminds me of?
Go ahead. Alex,
I want you to ask that question again because I like that question. Do you guys remember the Kat Von D drama we had last year where she got sued for tattooing a Miles Davis tattoo?
Yes.
They were like, you can't do that. That's his likeness. That's his face. Well, they ended up ruling in Kat Von D's favor. Now, it falls right into the same thing. It's also kind of on the same line of like fan art. Like, where do you draw that line?
Sure.
And it's kind of fuzzy. It's kind of a fuzzy line of what is copyright infringement? What is, you know, fan art? What is tribute? What is tattoos? I feel fall into that like fan art vein.
Now, here's the thing I'm most concerned about. I feel like RCA only pulled back, not only just because like the band themselves realized that this is BS, but at the same time, too, I think it's just because a lot of people were making such a big fuss online and they were just worried about pushback. But I'm just like wondering if this was not as public as it was, would they have done this, or would this have just flown on under the radar and we would just have never heard?
Oh, they would keep doing it. RCA is a machine. They are one of the labels that is a machine. It's kind of like YouTube takedowns and like copyright strikes. When you get one of those, it's very public. They have to tell you who made the strike and what, so you know who it is in case you want to contact them. There's no way RCA could do this quietly. So I don't remember. No, Inkite EJ.
Okay. Her name's Emily Jane. So I think that's
There you go. Yeah. That's much easier to pronounce. It's like us trying to pronounce Loviet. Okay. So this right here is a great example of making everything public so everyone can not only react with you, but other people that fall victim to it can stand with you. That's the best thing you could have done.
Exactly. Yeah. And I just hate, like, again, what does this say, that I can't post a picture of a tattoo that I have or someone else has because like I'm going to get the artist in trouble? Right. Like, and what does that also mean for other mediums too? I mean, like, we're all photographers, or we all do photography work. If I take a picture of a concert and I post it on Instagram, am I going to get a copyright claim?
You can.
It's getting worse about that.
It is getting worse about that. Contracts are getting more strict releases to sign and stuff like that for certain bands. I will not say the band name. I don't want to cause drama. There's a band that's going on tour next year, and if you post a photo that was not approved on Instagram, you will be fined $30,000.
That's insane to me. Because how many people go to concerts and they take photos and videos? It's a memento for them. And sometimes they like to post those. It is free advertising.
Right. And also, my wife also said, I've never known. Yeah, no bands are against fans being a walking billboard for them. I can't imagine they would. Do either of you have any band tattoos? Just out of curiosity. Yes. Alex, again, go ahead. Alex, which one?
You're good. I have an In This Moment tattoo.
Very nice. Rowan.
Yeah. Again, I plan on getting the Sleep Token tattoo. It's funny, actually, if you guys want to know. So, like, if anyone doesn't know, like, with the release of Take Me Back to Eden, there was, like, these creatures that they each designed for each track. And right here, I'm going to censor this because so Luke doesn't get in trouble. But
okay,
this is the creature that represents my favorite song off the album, my favorite Sleep Token song, Vore.
Three for me.
Yeah, it's like this like cool snake praying mantis monster thing. So I was planning on getting this thing while it encircles the the band logo that you kind of like see about right here. So imagine just like it coiled around like the
I just got an symbol. Email from RCA saying, take this off your podcast or else we're suing. Dang it, Rowan.
Oh, no. Yeah. It's the album cover. Mm-hmm. So, oh, my God. Screw you, RCA.
Yep. So, again, sucks that it had to happen. Great job to the band. Good news for the tattoo artist. 2025, still the big machine companies trying to squeeze that dollar. Squeeze it.
Seriously. Milk
them dry, everybody. Also, yes, $30,000 for that one. We won't say the band. Again, it's not the band's choice. It's the label and the But they're that stupid. Protective and controlling. Yeah. So it's going to keep happening.
Greedy. Call it what it is. Greedy.
Greed. Yes. Like dirty cartoon villain greed. When you watch greedy cartoon villains, like rub their gritty hands together. That's literally what it is.
Scrooge McDuck levels of greed right there.
Mm-hmm. Scrooge McDuck is like a saint compared to these guys.
Oh yeah. I would definitely trust him before. Oh, the Christmas one. Yeah. At least he learned a lesson.
Pre-lesson learned.
Oh, before like weeks before Christmas. Okay, gotcha. Yes, when he was a real jerk. There you go. So let's go on to the good news again. This at least had a good ending, and a label got called out. I call that a good ending too. So other good news, everyone loved Back to the Beginning. Everyone's gonna go see that in January and cry their eyes out in theaters. Well, we found out the name has just been trademarked, and it might become a running, like, not regular, but a running type of festival in the U.S. Talked about it a little bit yesterday, and I talked with a little bit about these guys. It won't be a tour. It will be a one-off festival when it happens, kind of like Back to the Beginning was in UK for Ozzy and everything else in Black Sabbath. I think it's an awesome idea. Here's the thing. According to the Mirror, U.S. trademark application has been filed for the festival name with legal protection requested in both live entertainment and merchandise under the banner of Ozzy's longtime rights holding company. So Ozzy's estate and everything, they're going to get their cut. But everything else happens as well. It's going to be a global thing. And there's a good chance this could happen again for another band when they decide to hang it up. And it'll be in the States this time. So, question I pose, who do you think would be a good fit for a Back to the Beginning-esque festival farewell?
I think you probably want to get like some of the acts that played in the original festival.
Not a bad idea. I have two guesses or suggestions. Who do you think Okay. Do you want me to go for my both? Okay. So, first of all, no one say Kiss in the chat. Kiss will never, ever get this opportunity. Not a chance. Absolutely not. Okay, so the US-based one, I'll do second. The first one, I think that is totally deserving if they do it again in UK. If they do, Judas Priest, when it finally does happen. Because you do want that final farewell for Judas Priest. There's still, Rob's in his 70s, still sounds great, but you know, it will not last forever. Okay.
Yeah.
That would be a fitting one that tons of bands would fly in for and do it again. Okay. Mm-hmm. America based, I'm going to go way different, not even metal, but would totally fit for the classic rock vibe. And it's a band that we've been wondering if they're ever going to be able, like, ever to do it again. Aerosmith.
Mm. Okay.
Because we don't know if Steven Tyler, how long he can keep going. He was at Back to the Beginning. They could do a Back to the Beginning in Boston, make that a big spectacle for a one-off thing for that, and say the true farewell to them. That I could see working.
Okay. I like where your head went with that.
Yeah.
Because my brain did not go to a farewell type festival. Okay. Not even close. My brain went straight
to like a remembrance.
Brain went straight to like an Ozzy tribute, like celebration show, in the sense of a lot of fans. I think we even talked about this a little bit. Like, let's bring Ozfest back in honor of Ozzy.
Show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And I'm totally up for that as well, because there's other bands that would totally love to do a Back to the Beginning type show. With a rotating stage and all this lovable Ozzy stuff. And like, sad. If you really want to tug on the heartstrings, have that same throne, but let it be empty and just sit on the stage the entire time.
Oh my God. He would love that too.
Yeah, that's right.
It's sad, but I mean, that's how you remember him. I mean, that's your point. That'd be awesome. Just having like a rotating, a rotating like list of artists that kind of come and go. Maybe you have some staples every time.
Sure.
But like they're all, they all come in, they all play Black Sabbath or Ozzy songs, and you know, they give their own spin on it. They show their love for the guy.
And look how well it works.
Didn't play Back to the Beginning, who I swear, who I'm pretty sure would have killed to have been there.
Absolutely. So
I think that's exactly where my brain went. Like, you get a super stellar stacked festival for the US and throw in a couple of, you know, covers here and there, kind of like they did when Typo Negative and White Zombie. I don't remember what the compilation was called, but you know what I'm talking about.
Black Sabbath. From the 90s. Yeah.
Something like that, where you throw in like one cover song just to pay tribute and remember, and then bust out a sweet set from all of these awesome artists who were influenced or connected in some way to Ozzy.
Yeah. There's a lot of good options for something like this. I'm glad that whoever is taking the initiative, the trademark applications are already there. So it's already a work in progress. So this is good. Whatever happens and how they do it, I like it. I have confidence that it'll happen. And again, we already know we're getting that fully produced, chopped up, perfectly processed theater version of the Back to the Beginning Festival coming in January. Get your tickets and bring a Kleenex box. And if you don't like the theater shows and like where everyone's singing along, just don't go. Do not go. Everyone's going to sing along in that theater to the point where the theater workers could be like, oh, go, not again. Yeah. So I'm happy.
We just roll up in all black and they're like, oh, great. You guys are here for Back to the Beginning.
See, when Gretchen and I saw the Ghost Theater last year, the Ghost one that they did in theaters. Yeah, it was, everyone was dressed up in ghost stuff, like costume and stuff. So they knew what was going on.
You know how like the Taylor Swift concert movie came out and there was like all this footage of like actual cult-esque rituals? Yes. I would just imagine it's something like that. I probably would be participating at that point. I will sacrifice.
Yeah, those poor theater workers do not get paid enough, by the way, to deal with all this crap. They really don't.
I'll clean up after myself, and I hope everyone does the same.
I'm just saying that's a lot of hope. You have so much hope in people at a movie theater. I assure you, that's not how it works.
It will let you down, Rowan. Yes. I am so sorry.
Even the theater let you down.
Oh, I have seen some disgusting things in a movie theater, but I like to think that Ozzy fans have maybe like some more restraint.
You would think, but after like six beers and singing their heart out for 4 hours, they may not think.
What theater do you know serves alcohol?
Oh, lots of them. Yeah.
The TV is super expensive.
No. Oh, yeah. The beer, probably is super expensive. But yeah, a lot of movie theaters serve alcohol now.
Who is the popcorn?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Everything at the movie theater behind the counter is expensive. That box of Sour Patch Kids, that's at least $5.
So okay? Can you afford to get drunk?
people will do it for this. They would totally like bust out the credit card for this one.
Pre-game then.
Oh, they're gonna tailgate for a movie? Oh no. Woof.
You take a few shots of your buddies, take the Uber, get like another beer or two, then go hog wild in the theater.
People throwing up in the movie theater, but it's like the beer stuff because they're pre-gaming. Oh, this got gross. Oh, the podcast that rocked. Something for everyone. Jeez. So,
alcoholism.
Uh-huh. Well, speaking of, you must have been drunk to say this. Disturbed put him ubu again because David Draymond just can't get his crap together. Last year, Mr. No War, No More, and Fighting is Not the Answer designed a bomb, a missile with the IDF when he was in support of the military. I'm not making a political statement. I'm just saying factual stuff would happen. Fast forward to 2025, and they're on their tour right now in Europe with Megadeth, and Belgium said, you're not coming in here. We're not risking anything happening. What the world's wrong with you? Belgium updates. Then, finally, we got it from Disturbed, and mainly David Draymond, but this was from all the band. What bothers me about this statement, they did not acknowledge the bomb signing or the previous statements of one David Draymond.
Reoccurring pattern with this guy.
Yes, they said, music is where all our differences fade into the background. Music has the power to heal, to inspire, and to bring people together. It's not about what divides us. Sir, two things. One, when you sign a bomb, you're trying to make division because it's a bomb. Two, this is me being a jerk. Music has the power to heal? I'm sorry. What part of is supposed to be a healing perspective? maybe that's just me. So,
dude, it's like a couple months back when we were talking about him beefing with Billy Joel Armstrong. It's like he's talking about, like, we got to come together. We got to find, we got to set aside our differences and we got to be peaceful about this whole thing. And he doesn't realize, funny enough, for a musician, signing a bomb that is used in war is one of the most tone deaf things you can do to pull that crap right afterwards. He's like the one person who doesn't realize that. And I don't understand how.
No, totally. Literally, like, if you say we all need to come together, let's unite.
Yes.
You can't do something that is divisive.
And that is heinously, like, aggressive as well. Okay. Let's call it what it is.
Like, I can't just go out, shoot somebody and be like, oh yeah, we gotta stop. We gotta bring in gun control, guys, ladies and gentlemen.
Our music can unite. Everyone is welcome here. By the way, I just went to the IDF, went to see some cool photos I took, and that's what you did. But for real, though, our concert tickets are available. Everyone is welcome. But what? What? I cannot blame the Belgium venue and the Belgium and like the Belgium political statements and stuff, like, because this came from government, too, saying maybe we don't want this in our nation right now. Maybe.
I mean, you cannot blame them at all because of the circumstances and because of the division, which is what is going on. It was flagged as a safety risk to those people at that venue within that place. Of course, they made a call to protect their space and their people because of certain actions that can be taken.
Oh, in the chat, that's like saying we can still unite Chicago after burning the Bulls flag. Well, that's their hometown, too. So
this is a horrible year for David Draymond.
Yeah. But it just bothers me. Nothing in the statement addresses why they were banned. Like, wouldn't you want to get in front of that as well?
And that's the most frustrating thing about this whole thing.
You can't downplay it. Like, address it.
No.
Address it. Stop downplaying it.
It's been over a year, too.
Just flat out ignoring it.
Yeah.
This is what he does.
And it's also, I love the image that Louder Sound put with this, like him, like with his arms out, like, what? Huh? I didn't do nothing.
I'm reading it more as like a Jesus Christ pose.
Oh, no. Goodness. All I know is it's going to take a while for him to come to terms that, gee, maybe I did go too far, but he cannot just keep playing it off like he's trying to be a uniter and his music's for everyone after something like that and not address it. So
the frustrating thing is that, like, everything that he has done so far this year, all his responses to people having a problem with him, it's like it reads like he's genuinely surprised.
Yeah.
And I need to know what's going through his head.
Yeah. And again, not trying to get political, but back to the beginning, he was booed. And do you both remember what his response was?
Remind me.
He said they were booing me because I'm Jewish, despite the fact that there were other Jewish musicians on the stage that performed that day. And they did not get booed. So
that didn't happen.
Yeah. So, yeah. Tone deaf. Yeah. Someone said tone deaf. It's like, yeah, I don't even know how else to describe it. I do feel like we talk about feeling bad for fans of bands, long-term bands. Yeah. I feel bad for Disturbed fans. Big time. Cause a lot of them have been in the fans since the Sickness came out. You know, they have the big fan base. They really do.
Yeah.
And it's gotta suck to be like trying to defend the guy. It's like, well, yeah, he did that, but
again, the artist line is a very fine line that we at some point are gonna walk on.
Yeah.
Honestly, if you're just super honest, but you're like, look, okay, I enjoyed this because of this, and it spoke to me. Like, that's fine. In this specific instance, I will say that, like, you know, you can get the wahs and be like, yeah, that brings me back to whatever point, high school or whatever it takes. Yeah. It takes you back and you're like, okay, that makes sense. It feels good to you in that moment. Doesn't mean you have to like what he's doing now.
Yeah. That's very fair to say as well. And I hope that either like some type of awakening, or at least the realization is like, hey, listen, yes, I understand why people are upset. Even something like that, even if he doesn't apologize for it, but like there's still something like in the business world, you can go, it's like, okay, address the situation though. We're aware of this. Whatever. Again, what do I know? I'm not David Draven. I'm not a multi-platinum selling artist going, oh, wah, ah, ah, ah. So, okay. This is where it hurts a little that we're not getting any, like we already knew the band was not going to tour North America headline again, like big tour. But now that we know more reasons why, it sucks. And it sucks more that I agree with them. One Alexandra Beatrix Cross sent this to us. I'm sorry for using your full name, but I wanted to address the seriousness of this. I hope that's okay.
Like I got in trouble.
I know. Well, no, I didn't yell it from the bottom of the stairs. So
like what, mom? Yeah, am I grounded?
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
What did I do?
It was posted up from many different people. Shirley Manson of Garbage addressed why there will be no more North American tours, and this is the last headliner tour for Garbage. Let me know if you can hear it.
Tour of North America. By that we mean it has become entirely unsustainable for a band like us to come and tour and anywhere except the coasts. And it's upsetting, but we've had a glorious 30-year career. And we really have no complaints.
I'd complain.
But I bring this up every night because I think it's imperative that we all start to understand what exactly is going on in the music industry. And it's difficult to get your head around, right? Because you see all these big pop stars. Announced that this is billions of dollars. Alarm call.
That was unintentional.
All the billions of dollars, and they're rich, and they're glamorous, and they're amazing. But the problem is that most of the music,
quick plug right there,
is not made of these big pop stars. They're made of working musicians. And this is not a pity party for us. This is a alarm call for all the young generations of musicians who are in our wake. And who we feel duty bound to speak up for, because there's nobody speaking up for them. There is no governmental body. There's no fucking real effective union for musicians that fights for young musicians to get paid. Nope. The average musician makes $12 a month on Spotify. They're sleeping in their vans. They're holding down numerous jobs, and they're playing their guts out every night. And the fact that they are not even able to sell a record, and it's taken from them by rich motherfuckers on streaming platforms who get paid royally, by record labels who get paid royally, by ticket masters who get paid royally, by merch companies who get paid royally. The list goes on and on and on. There's accountants, there's lawyers, they all fucking getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the musician. So I bring this up tonight because you are the ones who will lose out on generations of esoteric, risk-taking, creative, adventurous, weirdos, rebels, agitators, provocateurs. You're going to get fucking white bread. That's it. So thank you so much for coming out tonight, for supporting us for 30 years. Our love is strong for you. Keep supporting my music when you can. Denver, you've been so good to us. We do hope we will see you again. We can't guarantee it. In the meantime, have an incredible life. Live long, live hard, be safe, and be kind. We love you.
I wanted to just let that play because she eloquently said it all in front of a live audience with like almost one breath, better than I ever could. Couple notes. $12 a month on Spotify. For all of you wondering, you wish you could make $12 on Spotify. Get out of here if you think you're getting that close.
I forget who it was, but I saw someone do a statistic where if you want to just make the equivalent of minimum wage through just Spotify alone, you need to have, I forget exactly how many streams, but you need to have like 500,000 monthly listeners. And that is insane when you think about the type of artists who are really great and still don't even get those numbers.
Correct. Not even close either.
No. Like even someone like 200,000.
Yeah. Like, I just like Googled it and looked it up, and like, I'm seeing the results for it and stuff like that. Jeez, do I want to ruin your guys' day by showing this right now?
I can barely read this.
It's like, I'll have to read it for you because it's not going to all fit on here. To get the average of minimum wage, which is $17,664 a year. Yes, that how is how low minimum wage is. Yes, for the average.
That's nothing in New York.
Yeah. No, yeah. For California and New York, you're not even getting a box at that point, which sucks. But again, Spotify, you would read place to reach that money, $4 million. It's that bad. So,
wow.
Yeah. And again, I switched to Tidal. The payouts are way better, but even with Tidal, they would still need over $1 million.
Eesh.
So, yeah, we are getting Wonder Bread. She's right. We're getting Wonder Bread.
Absolutely. And I love this woman so much because she is not afraid to say this stuff. She's never been afraid to say things and always speak up for the little guys in whatever situation. And the bands who aren't these top major pop stars have become one of the little guys now because it is so hard to do any of the musician stuff anymore. It's so hard.
Yep. And like you think about touring crews that can't even have crews, like you'll see someone like on a crew with a band there that used to be like they're just the photographer or they're just working merch or they're just working sound. Now it's one person doing like seven jobs because that's all they can afford to have one person on crew. And that one person is run ragged.
Yeah, so. And especially for like younger bands, too. I mean, I've seen it firsthand. There are some bands that I've seen where they get so obsessed with like trying to make a profit just because like they, because like, you know, they're all working like, you know, part time to try and still make this like a job really. Yeah. So like they get, but the problem is they get too far into it. They start focusing too much on the money. They start trying to like, I've seen people try to like push out like five different t-shirts at once and just try and like, you know, constantly push that out their platforms. And it's just like they're trying to do anything they can to make a buck. And it gets to a point where the music suffers and their productivity suffers because all their effort is going into just trying to, you know, break even or just keep the lights on.
Great comment from a Rick Jones in the chat. Spotify is making music a hobby industry. And that is absolutely correct. It's going to go back to being this a hobby.
We've talked about it a little bit. It sucks so hard that we have all of this oversaturation to the point of everybody can be a musician now. But unfortunately now, because everybody can be a musician and has access to all of, you know, the DAWs and all, they can do it, but only a few are going to make it to the top and they probably have connections. This is just such a bummer that everything, just like Shirley said, everything is going to get super watered down and so stale and just white bread totally. And it sucks.
Music has always been a popularity contest, more or less, but it definitely feels like there are way more people in the race now. And it's just very hard to just like compete with all of them.
Yeah. Ah. But Daniel Ek, what about him? He's working hard. He needs his money too. So, by the way, if you're listening on the podcast, the faces I just got from my podcast co-hosts, I will not be able to describe on the internet.
Don't worry, I did not make hand gestures like I wanted to. I held back.
You're one of the few. Again, garbage can do whatever they want. They have nothing to prove. They don't. And I'm glad she said something, and I hope more bands stand up for something like this too.
Oh yeah.
So we move on. Speaking of good things though, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's coming up. And again, the inductees this year, pretty solid. Not gonna hear me complain this time. I like it. Another cool thing, we got the list of performers, and it is a wide plethora of names. Hosted by legendary late night TV host comedian David Letterman, will be joined by musicians Beck, Brandi Carlile, Doja Cat, Elton John, Flea, Iggy Pop, JID, Killer Mike, Maxwell, Missy Elliott, Olivia Rodrigo, Questlove, Ray, Sleepy Brown, Taylor Momsen, Teddy Swims, and 21 Pilots. And we already know Taylor Momsen is going to be covering some Soundgarden stuff.
Yeah.
That's awesome because she's worked with the remaining members of Soundgarden over the years as well. For those who are not aware, we bring it up. She was the Pretty Reckless on tour with Soundgarden when Chris Cornell passed away.
Yeah, she was super close with him, too. And so, like, I am super excited to hear her heart come through in whatever she does at this.
Yes.
Very fitting.
It'll be very emotional for that one as well. Like, Taylor Momsen is professional when it comes to the music stuff. I could see that one getting emotional. So, yeah. will be streaming on Disney Plus if you have it. If not, find someone who does. Don't pay the mouse any more money. The mouse does not need any more money. The mouse owns everything. I'll say that on you. I think I'm safe to say that on YouTube. Am I safe to say that one? I'm gonna have RCA and Disney now knocking on our door. Sorry, Gretchen. Sorry about that. Oops. We don't know who we think might honor it. Pretty Rest Chris Cornell is the good one. I don't know where else everyone else is gonna be, but there's a lot of good fun stuff coming up though. I would expect a fun, more positive show. I'm hoping for something for the Rock Hall this year. Here's hoping.
And anyway. Gretchen brings up something important as well. Taylor Momsen finally addressed the elephant in the room. That is Cindy Lou Who. And the Pretty Reckless redid their version of Where Are You Christmas?
Yep. And you know what? That's a great way to do it. Fine. Want me to talk about it? I'll sing about it. There. Now shut up.
Yeah. I hate Christmas music, but I'll check that out.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that can kill the behemoth, that is all I want for Christmas. I am all for.
I agree. There needs to be another song. And you know what? We'll champion this one gladly. You know, if you know someone that works at a Target or any of the department stores this holiday season, you need to get the message that this is a song they want to play instead of All I Want for Christmas Is You. This is your task.
And by the way, Chad,
a Christmas cover today. Yes. Did you guys see that?
I saw it. I did not hear it. Rowan, did you hear it?
I haven't heard it yet either. I'm going to.
Yeah, I want to hear it. Alex, did you hear the new Poppy Christmas song?
Like I said, I hate Christmas music, but I like Poppy, so this will be my happy medium.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah.
By the way, can I just say to like artists, by the way, like try to make some Christmas music. First of all, give us some variety, give us something new. By the way, too, if we're talking about money, like if you make a popular Christmas song, you're pretty much set for life.
Ask Mariah Carey. I mean, she already had money anyway, but no, she still gets multiple millions of dollars a year from streaming because of how much this song gets played. And that was in the 90s.
She could make that one song and it'd be like a Harper Lee situation. Does the one song, lives off that, comfortably off of that, and just never makes a single piece of like entertainment ever again.
Yep.
Did you guys know that Mariah Carey actually did rock at one point secretly? Did you guys see that? That was nuts. That blew my mind.
It was grunge, right? It was because it was 90s and she was like, they were trying to like shop her around like fits different styles and stuff too, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
I think she was just kind of bored and she's like, hey guys, let's play this stuff. So they did the band called Chick and released an album called Somebody's Ugly Daughter.
Mm-hmm.
What? That's so cool.
That is a grunge name, by the way, for an album for 90s. That is absolutely on point. So
did not see it coming.
Nope. Nope. It doesn't matter because all you're getting for Christmas is Mariah Carey. So that's all you'll get, too. Man, as soon as again, for those who are not, I'm sure it has to be overseas, too. It's not just the States, right? Right.
Probably. Yeah.
OK, I'm just thinking November 1st hits. Mariah Carey is wakened. And the music starts playing. Halloween's done. Mariah Carey kicks the door down. That's it.
Oh, me and my buddy have a comedy sketch that we're going to film soon about that whole thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm totally with you on that.
Yep.
I'm going to send me tots and pears because I work for a tots bunch of radio stations. Yes. Tots and pears, please.
That's right. Yeah, you do. this is your chance. This is your chance to counter that. You have a song now to place it.
Play the August Burns Red cover of the song.
I throw some Christmas tracks on the rock station for sure, but like they start Christmas music nonstop all day, every day, earlier and earlier every single year.
It's going to be
in July in like a decade. I'm like, well, I can't handle that.
November 1st, 12:01, Christmas music starts playing. Sorry in advance, Luke. I'm already aware, Gretchen.
Condolences, my friend.
What she plays usually isn't bad. She's not playing like the shopping mall hits, you know? So it's not too bad for me. But I do understand. November 1st, get ready for All I Want for Christmas. So yeah, Gretchen likes Trans-Siberian Orchestra. So
yeah,
okay.
You know, that's fine. All right. We have covered a lot of stuff, some good, some terrible, some I don't know. But we covered a lot. Thank you again, everyone, for waiting around. Let's start going through the stuff because we have some super chats to go through, but I also want to go through for our regular business. Let's start talking about some upcoming tours and albums. One cool tour got announced that's not coming near us, but it is pretty big. Alex, what type of tours can we expect that got announced this week?
one you're talking about, I am super stoked about it. We're going to have to figure out a way to get rocked out there for Korn.
That's going
to
cost, but we'll figure it out.
Korn, Spirit Box, and 7 Hours After Violet. It is a Latin America tour.
Mm-hmm. It's very cool.
Super excited about that one.
In May of next year.
That had to be in Latin America. Why they couldn't come to the States?
Also, I hate that Metal Injection had to put this as a subtitle, but they are correct. I will not read it out. Hopefully no one does something obscene at this one.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, oh, yeah, fitting right now, it unfortunately.
Sucks. It sucks that that is absolutely understandable that they had to put that.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah, Korn can't.
Dropkick Murphys also announced some 2026 dates, and not quite in the rock realm, but kind of fun and exciting. And she's one of those artists that rocks, even though she's not rock. Peaches announced a tour and her first album in 10 years.
Okay, then.
So
very cool.
Pretty fun. If you want to see Peaches, she's going on tour next year.
Very cool. Rowan, how about some albums coming out on October 17th?
We got a decent lineup coming up. First of all, we have Biohazard with Divided We Fall, a classic hardcore band.
The singles have been good.
Korn. Yeah. Also, by the way, we're talking about like bands kind of coming out of retirement or just having a comeback in general. Coroner is coming out with Dissonance Theory. This is a thrash metal band that started in the 80s, but like they never really got like any mainstream success, and they disbanded back in 96. But recently they started playing like some reunion shows, and then they finally said, okay, we're making a new album. We're finally back together. This is official now. So this album is their first album in over 30 years.
Impressive.
Yeah. Very
cool.
All Time Low's coming out with Everyone's Talking, classic emo band, classic pop punk band. We all know Dear Maria. And I know you guys will like this too, because I love them too. Of Monsters and Men, All Is Love and Pain in the Mouse Parade. Weird title, but I'm excited. Always like them.
Well, some of this, I don't love every single, but some of the singles, especially the most recent one, Fruit Bat, is amazing. It's like 5-6 minutes and it becomes a jam session. So very happy about that.
Yeah. Tame Impala is coming out with Deadbeat. My friends and I are trying to see Tame Impala later this month. He's coming to Madison Square Garden, and it's kind of cool. It's like we're doing like this thing where it's like we're going to go see Tame Impala, and then we're just going to go on like a whole bender into like in the city, like just kind of go to like a club crawl afterwards. It's going to be fun. I'm probably not going to survive. So how about you
be careful? How does that sound? Alex, what do you think about that? How about Rowan being careful? You like that idea?
You only live once.
You can make that life long, though. That's the point.
Make sure you drink water.
Brighter than longer.
You're like the mom before it goes off to junior high.
Yep.
I am a burn brighter, not longer type person.
Okay, well.
And finally, Sabaton, legendary band, are coming out with the aptly named Legends, like they are. Just... again, I'm excited about that. It's a good week.
Hard not to smile when you're listening to Sabaton. So fun stuff, cool things to look forward to. We're going to get super chats after we get through our song of the week and album versus album polls. It was Rowan's turn. Rowan, what was your song of the week?
So I mentioned them last week too, in our new albums coming out. I mentioned Dead Heat, which is a newer thrash metal band, and they recently had their newest album come out, Process of Elimination. I gave it a listen. By the way, guys, it's great. If you are just looking for a newer thrash metal band to get into, like I have for the last couple months now, this is a great one to get into. And my favorite off the album is their third track, Hidebound. I gotta be honest. It's like, it's very much like classic Slayer in terms of like production and just overall sound. It's like the classic, like rougher, less produced, less polished thrash metal, like from the 80s, like kind of like the second tier bands like Exodus, Testament. It's just the type of stuff that it's like I could just I listen to the song and I picture myself just going absolutely freaking crazy in a mosh pit while just jamming out to this. It's the type of feeling you want with a thrash metal song.
Very nice. Very good, passionate response about something good in a new band, too. So,
yeah, very cool. We got to show the new band some love.
I agree. So we now have the poll for album versus album last year, maybe last year too. Maybe you want to know also. Alex chose for the October feeling. Typo negative albums, over 2,000 votes. We have Bloody Kisses versus October Rust, and a fairly good split. Bloody Kisses wins at 57%.
Nice.
I think that's a fair split, too. 57 to 43. That's not a landslide. That's a pretty good showing.
I like that.
Yeah. 41 comments and 2,000, over 2,000 votes. People had something to say, so I do kind of like that also. Very cool. Good choice for the albums. We now go to Rowan for this week's album versus album. We're going to 2000s metalcore. I'm going to let you say it and describe it while I type it out.
Yeah. I mean, like, chat, if I haven't made it obvious, I'm a very, if I had to kind of put myself in one scene, it's definitely metalcore. And so for this poll, I picked out two of my all-time favorite metalcore albums. We got Trivium Shogun and Killswitch Engage's Daylight Dies. They've both had very eventful years this year. And again, in my opinion, these are my favorite albums from both of these bands. And it's just something that, like, this would even just be a tough choice for me too, because, like, I love Howard Jones's vocals over Matt Heafy's, but Shogun has probably some of my favorite guitar work in any album ever. Throws of Perdition, He Who Spawned the Furies, like Down from the Sky, it's all amazing. And it's just like, these are almost, both of these albums are just like no skip for me. And I just want to see, like, okay, what everyone else thinks too.
Very cool. Polls in the chat right now. So for our live chat, you can vote right now while we're going through super chats and festivals. However, on the main feed, it'll be on the YouTube community page, and I'll link it in the podcast notes and in the video description. I'm curious about this one as well. Alex, do you have a preference?
I don't know. It is kind of funky. I do like Howard Jones. He has kind of like that throwback, kind of nostalgic Killswitch voice to me. That one is tricky.
It is. Because this is this is a top shelf Trivium choice. If it was some of the other Trivium albums, I might shy away from it. But Shogun does stand out just a little because that is like one of the quintessential Trivium albums.
And I know it was the album that got me into Trivium. Yeah, that was the one that cemented me as a fan.
And that's not to say As Daylight Dies isn't for Killswitch. It obviously is. I'm just also saying that's what I associate Trivium with more. Also, I'm a Howard Jones fan too, but I also love Jesse. So.
Yeah.
Hard one.
I love both of them. I feel like they were both great vocalists.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. I'll leave it to the chat. Now it's time to go through some cheaper chats before we get to our festivals. Did we hit our like goal? Yes, we did. So we'll have some festivals. I'm going to go through these quick because I know we're way over time. Thank you again for everyone sticking with us as YouTube was YouTube. From Ellie Yeats. Now, Lee Gay, Stuart Richardson, Jamie Oliver, Mike Lewis, and the many drummers of the band's run can finally make their own music in peace. No Devotion in particular is worth supporting. That's about Lost Prophets, the former members and stuff that had their career kind of yanked away from them. So, yeah. From Just Danny Quinn, I'm pouring out a glass for this one. Cheers about Lost Prophets again. I think many people actually, like, legit did. Come on, YouTube, stop crapping out on me now. From, I can't even, like, YouTube is really, like, glitching out right now. From Mega D, that's a lame name, by the way. If he didn't have remorse over his cons, then I don't have remorse over his demise. I can't blame you. From Stephen Paulus, everyone go listen to No Devotion out of spite, which is the band that was short-lived for the Lost Prophets members. From Homeschool Punk, I discovered Lost Prophets at the end of 2013. Yikes. And on a lighter note, I'm seeing Scowl this Saturday. That's awesome. Scowl's great. They're on tour with Tsunami, if I'm correct. And from Chance Edits, super happy for that he's gone. He deserved what he got in that prison. On a brighter note, I'm currently at a Saliva concert who's touring with Earshots and the founder, who was Austin J. Winkler, on vocals. Okay, that's cool. Also, we have not covered the Saliva shenanigans with their former singer, Josie Scott, writing diss tracks. I don't have it in me to listen to those. I just can't. Okay, sorry. Finally, one more from Homeschooled Punk. Bad Religion has a great Christmas album. I do remember them putting one out. I never heard it, though. That'd be a fun one. If you get that. So, we got this out of the way. Alex and Rowan, we hit a specific goal, so we're going to add a band to every festival, but we're going to go fast. Are you ready to book some festivals?
Hell yeah, dude.
Okay, let's see what we got. Last week turned out pretty well. Each week when we hit a like goal, we play a game called Festival Rock or Flop. We book a random festival out of over 200 choices in a folder, and we put that festival in the middle of nowhere. We hit our goal first. We'll name our festival after we get our bands together. Let's get rid of this. There we go. So you guys know I'm not cheating. Festival Rock or Flop, band number one. We have Theory of a Dead Man. I don't want to go. Okay.
Great start.
Number two, Def Leppard. Why is Def Leppard on the same stage as Theory of a Dead Man? But whatever. Okay. Number three, O'Killy Dokily, the Ned Simpsons or the Ned Flanders parody band from The Simpsons. And number four, The Interrupters. Oh, they don't deserve this.
This sucks. Yeah. This one sucks.
Like, can we just take The Interrupters out to dinner and just like cheer them up or something?
Honestly, I think Def Leppard would be fun. I want to see Def Leppard and The Interrupters.
And they are great. They're totally great. Rowan,
I can't get into this one. I'm sorry.
Chat, yes
even
or no?
Def Leppard, there's nothing that's a big draw to me specifically. It's a taste thing at that point.
Yeah, we get one more. You're right, Alex. Thank you for calling me out on that. One more.
Yes.
This is okay. Make or break. This is a good make or break. Here we go. 303. No. Like 303 and Theory on the same bill. I think
I stand by my previous statement.
I want to go.
That's fine. I don't know. I think it would sell just because of Def Leppard alone. Okay. I'm not saying it wouldn't make money. I'm seeing a lot more no thank yous and polite no's in the chat. It's not even like people are like crapping all over it. They're saying like,
Here's the thing. I like Def Leppard. Sure. I don't love them though.
Fine. But
I've never seen them, so I have to.
Yes.
So that's, and they are a blast. That's why I'm here.
They are a blast live. They really are.
My dad loves it that the drummer only has one arm and is still able to play.
He's better than some people with two. Yeah.
Yeah.
He really is. Mars. Well, yeah. Come on.
Yeah. I know, not a high bar. I know.
I think there's a lot of no's in the more no's than yeses. What's our what's our festival name? I don't even know. Before we get to Ellie Eats Festival, when my wife and I were shooting 303 at a concert, when it got to my first kiss with a lip, you know, but it's the older guy singing it, and we were just like,
when it's like a 70-year-old man.
It was like,
sheesh, poor guy.
The other guy looks a lot older than this guy. That's the problem too. Like, he has gray hair. So yeah.
Ellie, I know some people who went gray in their 20s.
Absolutely. People go bald in high school. You know, it happens to a lot of guys. So Yeet Fest, you're up. What do we got for Yeet Fest? Number one, no Def Leppard. I wish I could give him a do-over, but that's not the rules. I know. Number one, we got Stitched Up Heart. That's a good little start. There you go. They're fun live. Number two, Motley Crue. We're getting Mixy out of that show. I do not want her backstage with Vince Neil.
Depending on who it is, this is already a killer.
Yeah,
we've got separate green rooms.
Separate green rooms and separate buildings, by the way. I don't even want that, like, same halls. Ugh.
Different ends of the festival grounds.
Yes, okay. Number three, Max Sabbath. Yeet Fest is a little wild this time. Number four, Thrice. Goodness, how did you guys get in here?
This is somehow worse.
And number five, Poppy. Wow. Okay.
Damn it.
I'm going. Sorry, guys.
I'll say this.
You know what?
I'll say this. You got to see Motley Crue live in their current era once just to experience what in the world it is.
If you sing the lyrics, it sounds kind of like Vince Neil's trying to say. It's a lot more fun.
Yeah.
Like, if you just make up random words.
Yeah, it is.
It's so fun.
it's just gibberish at that point, and that's all it is, too. But Poppy and Stitched Up Heart, Thrice sounds good. Max Sabbath on their farewell tour. I'm going to go, but admittedly, for Motley Crue, I'm sitting back and just kind of chuckling, okay?
I got it. You know what? For Poppy, I will. I love her. She was awesome when I saw her live. I can put up with Motley Crue. I can enjoy Motley Crue in it so bad it's good.
I want to go for the insanity, not even for Poppy. Merch during Crue, I saw them live once. I'm good. Miss this one. It's better than the last one. Poppy's not enough. Yes, Poppy won, but we're all over the place. Screw it, I'm going. I'll suffer Motley Crue for Poppy and Stitched Up Heart. Just barely saying yes. Guys, by the skin of our teeth, Yeet Fest is good. Somehow. Number three.
I feel like you would have to tailgate this one, by the way.
Yeah. Ugh, yeah. Mega Fest, you're up. Here we go. Number one. Seether. Okay. We're like an actual festival band. Okay. Number two. We got Architects. Still in that ballpark for festival stuff. Number three. In this moment, we are deep in the DWP territory now. Number four, At the Drive-In. Okay. Number five, Millionaires. Now, some of you may not remember. How do I want to describe Millionaires? They were meme music and raunchy girl music before that became a thing on TikTok. Like in 2011.
Are we talking like MySpace era? Yes. Are we talking like I Wrestled a Bear once?
Definitely era? MySpace core, but okay. Raunchy girl music. That's a good way to put it.
I mean, like everyone else I love.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I mean, like, I can put up with this. If they're not horrible, yeah.
It's borderline comedy. Alex, would you go?
I'm going. Yeah, I'll go.
At the Drive-In's one of my biggest ones, you know, and this moment's fun.
Architects is one of my favorites.
Yeah, Seether and Architects, you know. It's weird, but this is the traditional radio station fest, you know, like you pull whatever bands you can get and have them come out to, I don't know, what's a good place? Frankfort, Sheboygan. Kentucky. Sheboygan, there you go, Kentucky. Sheboygan.
What state is that in?
I don't know, I just like saying Sheboygan.
Once you find Sheboygan on a map, you'll know what festival you're going to for Sheboygan Fest with Mega Fest.
It's in like Mississippi or something.
Sheboygan, Wisconsin or something.
I think it's Wisconsin. Sheboygan, Mississippi. Yes. A smaller town of like 19 people. Absolutely.
I don't know.
And they have Millionaires come. Boy, that town's never... And in this moment, that town's never going to be the same. I'm seeing mostly yeses. So you know what? Mega Fest, good job. We now move on to... Do we have one more? We have one more. No, we have two more. Okay. Homeschool Fest. Homeschool Fest has been pretty fun recent, like for the record, for the majority. Number one for Homeschool Fest, Corey Feldman. Well, if ever there was a reason for homeschooling, it's because Corey Feldman was the one you were raised on. No, this is a true musician, honey. Learn from him. Number two, no Max Sabbath.
That's such a perfect pairing, though.
Star Set and Corey Feldman. Okay, by the way, Dustin would be up for performing with that just because it's funny. Okay, just to make it clear. Number three, Rage Against the Machine with opener Corey Feldman. Yes, I'm going. Buy my tickets now. Gretchen, guess where we're going for a date. Number four, Killswitch Engage. Guys, this is looking pretty good. Number five, Pentagram.
I like this one. I'm in.
Guys, I'm going. Alex? I know you don't like Corey. I know you don't like Corey, but Rage. Come on. That's a big one.
Yeah, Rage and Star Set.
Killswitch.
Yeah.
Not Killswitch?
No, I'll go for Killswitch. I forgot they were on this lineup. I got distracted by Corey Feldman doing that weird stuff. Yeah, I'll go to this one.
Okay. Take my money, yes, just for Rage. Going for Rage. The comeback king. Yes, that is correct. Yes. Skipping the openers and staying for the rest. Yeah. Yes, there's a lot of yeses. Okay. Gretchen, this is a great date night. I hope you're excited.
Do you think Corey Feldman would do something with Bobby Liebling? That'd be awesome.
Oh, maybe. I put nothing past Corey Feldman, by the way. Nothing. Anything is on the table. And finally, Chance Fest. Thank you so much. Here we go. Chance Fest. Number one. We got Bullet From My Valentine, the true Welsh metal band. Thank you. Number two, can't do in this moment again, Sick Puppies. Okay, fine with that. Number three, Judas Priest. There's a headliner.
Good one.
Number four, we are not doing 303. We're having a lot of duplicates to this time. I don't know why.
Shuffle the deck.
The Cure.
It's an insane one.
Judas Priest and The Cure. That is a cool little show, though. And number five, Anthrax.
Hell yes. Hell yes. I am so going to this one.
I know it may not be perfectly aligned with each other, but The Cure, even with Judas Priest and Anthrax, that's a show. Come on now.
Bullet for My Valentine, too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Alex?
I'll go. This is a good one.
Yeah. This is a yes, guys. I don't care what anyone says. We spent enough time. That's a yes. Come on now. We're all going. Buy merch. That being said, let's go to our final thing for... I'm just going to leave this up. Actually, let me go back to our main. Man, I'm all over the place. I apologize. Streaming with 1-3 full windows. No, no. It's OBS is going nuts. There we go. The poll. Wow, my brain is fried. This is what happens when you fly in earlier today. For the poll, album versus album, Trivium Shogun, 56%. Killswitch Engages, As Daylight Dies, 44%. That is a fair split. So, poll in the live YouTube chat, just barely for Trivium Shogun. Pretty good showing, though. That poll will be live on the YouTube feed as well. The main link will be there. Let's see how that does. I want to thank you all.
I got to be honest.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I got to be honest. I would have thought, just from popularity, I would have thought Daylight Dies wins, just because, I mean, like, My Curse is just basically the metalcore version of the national anthem.
It is, but
it
again,
may have more, like, broad reach outside of chat, because chat, we know a little bit more here, you know? I think you might be onto something with the My Curse thing.
That's true. So, I just liked that it was a good show. It was more of an even split. 56 to 44 is very respectable. That poll's out there. Thank you guys so much for sticking with us as we started late. We've run late. That's 100% on YouTube. Thank you so much for sticking with us anyway. I know not all the topics were fun to talk about this week, but they were important. Like, that we needed to address them. Alex, anything you would like to end with before we start wrapping things up? Rowan, how about you?
You know, when November 1st hits around, don't listen to Mariah Carey. Listen to August Burns Red if you really need to hear All I Want for Christmas. They do an awesome cover of that.
Fair enough. I will have some videos coming up later this month as well. Now that I'm back in town, I have no more travel planned. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We'll be back next week with more shenanigans. Hopefully we'll be on time and less long-winded. I say that because of myself. Alex, what is your joke of the week? Because we all need a good chuckle right now.
Well, I actually have a new business endeavor.
Oh, okay.
So I need you guys to kind of hear me out on this one, okay? I recently opened a shop selling trampolines disguised as prayer mats. Profits are going through the roof.
Okay.
We're both, good. Yeah. I think it got both of us at the same time. That actually... Not bad, because it's good imagery as well.
It's the perfect amount of stupidity.
Yes, right. It is. I also like a Pope dressed character. Whee! Like off the little kneeler. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. See, that's wholesome. That's fine. Gretchen, would you stop doing that in the chat, by the way? We're talking about dad jokes and you're trying to raunch it up. Goodness.
Come on. Dad jokes are
wholesome.
Yeah.
We're talking about religious people bouncing on trampolines, and then you come in with that. So,
how come Laffy Taffy hasn't reached out for a sponsorship yet?
Right? I'm gonna have to reach out to these guys and say, please stop sending me the yellow ones, and we can talk.
Oh, you want the sour ones? Yeah.
I mean, I don't. Yeah, I don't mind the banana so much, but I get like 15. Every time I do a bulk order.
I mean, honestly, you know? if they sponsor you with enough money, though, you'll probably deal with the bananas, won't you?
You guys going to be okay if I don't have any teeth left?
Depends how good the jokes are.
Do you have
are.
To eat them?
Yeah. No one's forcing you to eat
them.
Oh, no. But you have to risk your teeth?
Well, and I might end up like 700 pounds, but, you know, it's for the art.
Okay. You can make Laffy. That's what I was going to say. You can make Laffy Taffy art, like just meld the taffy together and make shapes out of it. Because that stuff is not going to rot.
Now, she doesn't want to do that. She lives in the South where it's like there's bugs everywhere, like a big wall of candy.
What is it like, Archer? Like, that's how you get ants.
You would get ants. Yes, that is definitely how you would get ants. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a life size. The podcast that rocked
logo
statue of all of us made of taffy.
A Laffy Taffy.
You wake up and your animals are just licking it nonstop. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, that's gross.
But I just imagine there's like, I just imagine there's an army of like flies and ants all around it. It's like some sort of like freaking Junji Ito type imagery.
Ew.
Gross. But also, Alex, you're getting a lot of respect for that joke. That was probably one of your better ones in quite a while.
Thank you so much. It's hard work, but pays off.
It does. Well done. Hope you soar to new heights like the Profits on Trampolines. Profits on Trampolines is a good punk album, by the way. I don't know who the artist is, but I'm sure it exists. Thank you all so much for having a great week with us. We will see you next week. Tell your friends, leave comments. If you're listening on the podcast feed, please, please leave a review for stars. Hopefully if you give us 5 stars, but if you give us 1 star, like, we can't stop you. So, you know, 5 stars really does help out, though. Thank you again. Have a great week. We will see you next time. And something is going on with my OBS. Okay, the outro video is gone. I'll just ending soon, saying goodbye. Boy, everything is crapping out with YouTube. It's YouTube now. Never mind. Bye, everyone.
Dance.
Yeah, I know. Bye.